message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you've joined us today for our time together in the Word of God, and we're going to continue our study in the book of Acts. We've come to the middle section of the book of Acts and the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and we've been answering and talking to you the last several broadcasts about why Paul is in the Bible. And why is it that when you come to the middle of the book of Acts, all of a sudden another apostle shows up? You know the history, I'm sure, of how it comes about. Our Lord's ministry found in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I put this up here just about every week, so just to remind you about what's going on here. Jesus Christ dies at the end of these books. He's crucified there. He's buried. He's raised again, and then he ascends into heaven. He sends the Holy Spirit back upon the apostles. He trains the 12 over here for the ministry. They're going to carry on over there. He sends the Holy Spirit on them here, and they go out in the early Acts period in here and carry on that ministry. But there comes a point out here where the nation Israel refuses and rebels, and God sets the nation Israel aside. And you have the fall of Israel and the diminishing of Israel. And along with that, you also have the salvation of Saul, who becomes Paul, the apostle. The Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory reaches down and saves Saul of Tarsus, makes him Paul the apostle, and gives to him a new system of information to Paul the apostle called the dispensation of the grace of God. And there's a real important issue here about why all this comes about. There's something new shows up in your Bible. Back over here, the ministry focuses on Peter and the 12. Over here, the ministry focuses on Paul. Over here, the ministry focuses on the prophetic program, what God had been speaking about and making known since the foundation of the world. Over here, the focus is on the mystery program, a program that God had kept secret since the foundation of the world. The ministry over here focuses on God's purpose for the nation Israel, His kingdom people. Over here, the focus is on God's purpose for the church, the body of Christ. The body of Christ is where there's neither Jew or Gentile, but there's one body, a new spiritual unit of believers called the body of Christ, where neither Israel, we're neither Jew nor Gentile, but one body in Christ. And this information over here has to do with the dispensation of grace as compared to the program back over here is the law program. Now, those contrasts are very important to understand. As far as the method of the revelation is concerned, they're different. This is prophecy. This is the mystery. As far as the agency involved, this is Israel. This is the body of Christ, the two different agencies of people. As far as the program of operation, this is the law and this is grace. And if you fail to make the distinctions between these things that God makes, what you do is you bring confusion into your life as a believer. You bring into your life a confusion and a frustration as to how the Christian life is designed to operate and it's to work. And you bring an absolute hopeless situation as far as pleasing God in your doctrine and in your walk as a believer. If you're confused about where you fit, who you are, Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning this mystery, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. And he said, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, Romans 11:25. That is, I don't want you to be ignorant of this, lest you to be wise in your own conceits is to think you're somebody that you're not, see? And if you're ignorant of the mystery, truth about the formation of the body of Christ and who you are in the dispensation of grace, what God does with a believer today, you'll wind up thinking you're Israel. You'll go back here and try to take Israel's program, her law observances, her baptism program, her sign gift programs, her healing ministry, and all the rest of the things that God promised to the nation Israel in a physical, visible, earthly kingdom of blessings. You'll be trying to get those things when in reality God has made you a part of a spiritual body of believers. believers over here, call the church the body of Christ, blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and made you complete in Christ. You see, you today as a believer, you and I as saved people today. Now, if you're not saved, this is something God has for you that you haven't received yet. But the believer today, you see, the Christian today, Christianity is not a religion. And it's not a life that you have to go out and live. Christianity is the gift of God's life given to us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Christianity is a life to be lived. It's the life of Jesus Christ living in us and through us for His glory. It's not me going out trying to keep a bunch of ceremonies correctly and a bunch of commandments the best I can and loving God just as much as I can every chance I get. None of that's what Christianity is. It's not a religion. It's not a bunch of attainment. It's not me seeking to strive to live up to some standards so God will bless me. That's religion. That has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity is Jesus Christ dies at Calvary to pay for everything that's wrong with you, dies for all of your sins, is raised again from the dead to be the author of everlasting life for you when you trust Him. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and baptizes you into living union with His Son, puts you in His Son, and then puts His Son in you, and it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. No, it's no longer I, but it's Christ living in me, Paul says. That's the issue. So Christianity and the Christian life, it's not religion, and it's not an external bunch of duties. It's a life that God gives us internally. And when we are in that, when you come to trust in Christ, He puts you in His Son, and He blesses you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and you're made complete in Christ. That's what grace is all about. Grace is all that God is free to do for you through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. You're not under the law system where you're striving to get certain kind of blessings that God promised Israel. You're under grace, where God has already completely given you the blessings in Christ up front as a free gift. Somebody says, well, that's cheap grace. Listen, folks, nothing is cheap if it costs God the life of His Son. It can't be cheap if it took Jesus Christ's death at Calvary. It's wonderful, it's marvelous, but it's not cheap. Somebody says it's easy believism. It can't be easy believe. This is the most difficult thing in the world to believe. People refuse to believe it all the time. Why? Because it says you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. It's all that what God does. And men find that hard to believe. Not easy. It's not say all these excuses and little cliches that people throw at you to try to deny grace and put you back under a performance system is just the dodges. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world blinds the minds of them that know not Christ, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them and they should be saved. But you see, my friend, this is who we are. That's why Paul is in the Bible. That's what Paul's ministry is all about. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. You're what this body of believers, this is who God is building today. And you know, I've said so often through the years, if you want to do the will of God in your life, the way to do the will of God in your life is to find out what God is doing today. There it is. And go do that. You see, most of the time we're so self-centered and self-interested that when we think about doing the will of God, we want to know, where does God want me to be at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon? What does He want me to eat for breakfast today? Where does He want me to preach tomorrow? Or who does He want me to talk to this afternoon? Or did I do it right yesterday? And that's not it. The issue in the will of God is not you, it's God's will. And if you'll find out what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, and you'll go and have that be what you do, you'll be doing what God's doing, and that's His will. It's just that simple. That's why He goes on and says, verse number 10, you're God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul says. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The Apostle Paul laid a foundation for the dispensation of grace. Jesus Christ gave to Paul a system of information called grace. called The Mystery. And Paul writes that information down in Romans through Philemon in your Bible. And Romans to Philemon constitutes the foundation upon which you and I today are having God operate. Pauline authority is the only foundation upon which you can build your hope. It's the only safe foundation upon which you can rest your confidence. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 37. The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual," if the preacher says, "I'm a man of God," if the preacher says, "I'm spiritual," you look up to him as a spiritual leader. Let him acknowledge. Here's how you tell if someone is a man of God or if they're really led of the Spirit of God. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of God. You see, folks, a spiritual-minded person will acknowledge the advanced revelation given by the Lord from heaven's glory through the ministry of the Apostle Paul as being what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, as contrasted with what he did in the prophetic program headed up by Peter and the earthly program back there with Israel. Now, I want to show you why that's important. We want to get Luke chapter number 3. Let's talk about why it's important to make these distinctions. In Luke chapter number 3, you go back to the ministry of John the Baptist, way back here. John the Baptist's ministry. And I want to talk to you. I want you to look at some verses that talk about the plan of salvation, about how God saves people. In Luke chapter number 3, verse number 10, if you will. Luke chapter number 3, verse number 10. The people come to John and they say, "What shall we do then?" In other words, he's been telling them about the judgment and the wrath of God that's coming and their need of being saved. And they say, the people ask of him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And he answered and said unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came the publicans to be baptized and said of him, "Master, what shall we do then?" And he said unto them, "Extract no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And you say, well, what's all that talking about? They come and say, "John, what do we have to do to be saved?" And he says, well, don't extract anybody any more than what's lawful. If you've got two coats, give to the guy that doesn't have any. And if you go out and do your job, don't do it with violence. Just do it honestly and fair. Well, what's he talking about? Well, he's talking about what he just told him back in verse 8. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. These people, what must I do to be saved? John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, and they were to bring forth the fruits in their life that demonstrated the baptism, the repentance that their heart confessed. These people back here, in order to be saved, were to repent and bring forth the fruits that were meet, that were qualified, that reflected in their life the fact that their heart had repented. How were people to be saved back here? By bringing forth the fruits meet for repentance. Come with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter number 19. Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry preaches the gospel of the kingdom, just like John did. Preached about the coming kingdom out there in the ages to come to the nation Israel. Matthew chapter number 19. Matthew 19 verse 16. The rich young ruler comes to Christ. It says, "Behold, one came and said, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now notice, the man says, what good thing must I do to have everlasting life, eternal life? Jesus says to him, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life," do what? "Keep the commandments." Keep the commandments. Now that's what Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry told a man who came and said, "Master, what must I do to have everlasting life?" Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." Now that's important. That's what he tells them right there in Matthew. Now come with me to Acts chapter number 2. By the way, Do you understand the problem that I'm presenting to you? Maybe, you know, sometime maybe I need to tie the rag on the bush a little clearer, nail it up real tight. John the Baptist says, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Let me tell you something. I have never one time in 25 years of ministry, preaching in rescue missions, preaching on the television, on the radio, preaching on street corners and pastoring three churches, and being the president of a Bible Institute, preaching all across America, I have never one time ever told anybody that wanted to know how to get saved that they ought to bring forth the fruits meet for repentance or that they ought to keep the commandments. Never have I done that. There are scores and scores of pastors all across the world who've never one time told someone when they said, friend, what do I have to do to be saved and have everlasting life? We've never said, keep the commandments. Well, let me ask you something. What right do I have to change the message that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 19? What right does a fellow like me have to say something different than what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 19? What right do I have to say something different than what John the Baptist said in Luke chapter 3? I mean, who in the world am I anyway? I have no right to change the program. The only one who has a right to change the message is God Himself, the one who gave the message. And if God didn't change the message from the time of the earthly ministry of Christ to where we are today, then the message that you better preach and that I better preach is keep the commandments. Come with me to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Somebody says, well, when you get on this side of the cross over here, Peter at Pentecost changes the message. But oh, my friend, what does the record of God's Word say? Acts chapter number 2, verse number 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Will you allow me that's basically the same question that the people asked John? That's basically the question that the rich young ruler asked the Lord Jesus. What shall I do? I've got a problem. The wrath is coming. How am I going to escape it? Look at what Peter says. Then Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know what Peter said? Peter said right here exactly what John the Baptist said right back there. John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And just in case you don't understand what for the remission of sins means, if you'll look at Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, your Bible will tell you. Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, speaking again to the nation Israel, says, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You want the remission of sins? Here's how you get them. Repent that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He comes back over here, sets up His kingdom after the tribulation period. Jesus Christ returns, sets up His kingdom, and in that time period over there, when they're refreshing, that's when they'll get their sins blotted out. These people back here were to repent and be baptized so that when Christ came back over there, they could have their sins remitted and forgiven and blotted out. Now, may I confess to you that I've been preaching a long time. I write gospel tracts. I've preached to people. I share the gospel with people all the time, preaching rescue missions right now. We have all kind of outreach ministries from our assembly and in our school. And my friend, nobody in my group, we're very adamant about the clarity of the gospel message we preach, and we never tell anybody to repent and be baptized so they can have their sins remitted when Jesus Christ comes back. But what right, I ask you, by what right do I change the message? I have no right to change the message unless God Himself changed it. Come with me to Acts chapter number 16. There are preachers all across America today that don't preach Acts 2:38 as it is written in a King James Bible for the plan of salvation. They may profess that they do, but they don't when you get right down to it. What John preached back here, what Christ on the earth preached, what Peter preached is all the same message back there. How is it then in Acts chapter 16, verse number 30? When the jailer comes to Paul and Silas and says, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." How come it is, when you come over here to Paul's ministry, the whole thing, the whole message that's been going on along here changes to something else? This is an important issue because we're talking about salvation here. We're not just talking about what church you're going to go to and how much money you're going to take up from people and all that. We're talking about where your soul, your never-dying, everlasting soul, is going to spend eternity here. We're talking about real basic things. Now, there's absolutely no right that Paul would have had, or us following Paul would have had, to have changed the message from what John, what Christ on earth, and what Peter at Pentecost said, unless God Himself changed the message. And that's exactly what happened. For Jesus Christ, from heaven's glory up here, reveals to the Apostle Paul a new system of understanding, a new revelation called the mystery, the secret. Paul is the master builder. He lays that foundation down in his epistles here. And this is a new program, a different program, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of the uncircumcision, in contrast to the gospel of the circumcision back here. And the reason there is a difference is that God Himself has changed the content of the gospel message today when He changed the program, and He did it by raising up that other apostle, the Apostle Paul, to introduce a new dispensation and a new message about a new agency and a new purpose that God is executing today. And that's the ministry of grace. Let me give you another contrast. Come back with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter number 22. Matthew chapter 22. Now, we could do this on into the night. We don't have time here. I'll just pick a few contrasts that are clear that you can see easily. Matthew chapter 22. You're going to make it Matthew 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 22. Matthew chapter 21, Jesus Christ back here in His earthly ministry, He says to His disciples, verse number 22, "In all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now there's a clear promise. These people back there, whatever they ask in prayer, believing, they're going to get. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever get down before God with a problem? I know what it is to have problems. I know what it is to have bills you can't pay from time to time, not made because you satisfy the lust of the flesh, just because you're living. And life's tough. And bills mount up. I know what it is to have a little baby. I've sat for 8 days by a hospital bed with my 18-month-old baby lay there, and the doctor say, "We don't know if he's going to live, he's going to die. We can't tell you what's going to be. It'll either be life or death or any degree of paralysis in between." I know what that is. I know the heartache of a father and a parent doing that. I know what it is to have needs. Have you ever really had a need in your life where you just sat before God and you prayed, "Oh God, here's the desire of my heart, just between you and me, not for any reason except it's just something I want for your glory. All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. I'm going to just believe you for it." Have you ever really done that and then it didn't come about? And then you really didn't get what you asked? Now, let me tell you something. If you're honest today, I'm not talking about, you know, just claiming stuff that didn't happen and making up answers to try to cover up for God. I'm talking, if you're honest, you know as well as I do that you've asked many things of God that you never got. You've asked whatsoever you ask in prayer, you've believed and you didn't receive. And, you know, we've got all these theological gimmicks that people make up. They say, "Well, you know, you really got it, but you just got to keep claiming it, because one day you will get it." That isn't what the verse says. It says you shall receive it. Somebody says, "Well, you know, the problem is you had sin in your life." That's just a gimmick, folks. If you had to get all the sin out of your life before you ever got an answer prayer, you'd never even smell an answer, much less get one. People say, "Well, you know, God, He's off in heaven." No. God didn't answer in prayer like He did in Daniel 10, you know, by Pony Express with sending an angel. God dwells inside of the body of every believer. You're one with Him. You don't have to pray long distance. You don't need God's telephone number to call long distance. You carry Him about wherever you go. You can pray instantly, right? Instant communication. You say, "But preacher, I've prayed and it didn't come to pass, but I don't want to doubt God." No, the answer is, the problem is not doubting God. The problem is you're claiming a prayer promise God never gave you. You know what God tells you? He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, you don't know what to pray for as you ought. But the Spirit helps our infirmities. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You see, we don't know how God can best be glorified in every given situation in our life. We don't always know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. God, the Holy Ghost, can go right down to the most basic levels of your human need and minister to you there. The reason you don't get all the things you pray for, and thank God you don't, is that the reason these verses back here that you claim don't come through is not because God isn't true to His Word. It's because God is true to His Word. You see, you can go back here and claim promises not God never gave you and let those promises overwhelm you and let it become a burden and a disaster to your spiritual life when those things that you thought God ought to do didn't come to pass. Or you can recognize that God has changed the program and that here's the foundation we stand on and have what God is really doing today live vibrantly in your life as you by faith rest upon the truth that He gives you in Paul's epistles. Here's the foundation, my friend, that we stand on. The foundation of God's matchless, marvelous grace revealed to us in the Word of God, rightly divided through the pen of the Apostle Paul. Don't cause God's Word to be a burden. Let it be the blessing God intends it to be by rightly dividing the Word of truth. Before we go today, we're going to offer you a free Bible study tape. Our announcer will come in a minute and give you the address and how to get it. You listen carefully, will you? And get this tape. It's our gift to you. We want to minister truth to you and have you rejoice in the riches of God's grace to you in Christ. So you listen carefully now as the announcer comes to give you the address how you can get your tape. And until we meet again next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Why Paul? It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at The Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520, request tape offer number 198. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad that you've been with us today. If our study has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you still are not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.